camaraderie every day, going through the same stuff together. That was one of my high points. The bright swinging frogmen of the UDT.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Unbeatable Mind podcast with Mark Levine. Thank you very much for continuing to support us here at Unbeatable Mind and for sharing this podcast on social media, leaving us reviews, and also rating it, which is extremely helpful for other folks to find it. Love getting your feedback. You can send feedback to info at Unbeatable Mind. And we just hit 3.5 million downloads. So we're kind of growing quite a bit every month, over 150,000 downloads a month, and that's growing. The podcast is available at unbeatablemind.com/podcasts. It's on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and who knows what else they'll invent soon that we can offer it through. Before I get going today, and I got a really special podcast today with a couple really cool guests. But before I introduce them, I want to also mention that the Unbeatable Mind Summit is coming up December 1st and 1st to the 3rd. So December 1st to the 3rd. If you haven't thought about it or you're on the fence, we are getting down to the wire in terms of availability of spots. The lineup of speakers is super cool. I mean, I'm not kidding. These are some amazing folks. I'm very excited to listen to and see what they're up to. Recently, I interviewed Mark Sisson, who will be there to tell us all about some of the things we got into at a surface level around ketogenesis and metabolic flexibility. Dr. Kirk Parsley, my Navy SEAL teammate, was going to give us the latest on sleep science and also hygiene, just basically why it's so important and how we can sleep better. Ashley Horner, who's a fitness studette and also has a philanthropic effort to support battered women. My Navy SEAL friend, Andy Stump, who stumps for charity all the time to raise money for the Navy SEAL Foundation, Wounded Warriors, and he's big on supporting vets with PTS. He's a really interesting cat. He's, for a brief moment, he shared the world record, or he had the world record for wingsuit jumping, and he's always looking for another challenge. Also, Army Captain Joshua Mance, who was killed in combat and came back to life 15 minutes later. It's an incredible story. You definitely want to hear from Joshua. What a neat guy. Also, JP Sears, who's a health, emotional coach, I would say, and also comedian. And his work is just phenomenal. And he's really taken off in the last couple of years. He's funny as heck. Great guy. And one of my yoga mentors, Gary Kraskow, who will be leading us through the science of the mind, mental development, and some breathing training. It's going to be very, very cool. Tons of great training, tons of great inspiration. And my new crop of certifying, or people in certification, I should say, it's a year-long program for Unbeatable Mind Coaching, will be there and help work you through developing your five mountain training plan and ethos and that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a pretty cool event. If you want to register now and save $200, go to summit.unbeatablemind.com, summit.unbeatablemind.com. And you'll save $200 if you put the code podcast200 in, podcast200. So that's that. Enough of the public service announcements. Now, some of you may have heard that recently I took a trip to Greece. And in Greece, I brought some clients, as well as we had some donors who donated through or to the Courage Foundation in order for us to support several veterans to come to Greece with us and to experience this, what we call this epic adventure, this epic challenge. It was an incredible experience. I mean, even personally, I was actually a little bit nervous about this because it's 8 days and we're hiking the trail that King Leonidas took with his 300 Spartans from Sparta, which is a small, Greek city-state kind of in the center of the lower part of Greece, all the way to Thermopylae. And that's on, the Adriatic, but I don't know the exact body of water that is the inlet there that is on. Maybe Eric or Elia will know. But anyways, and there he met the Persians who were landing their very, very large expeditionary landing force to basically take over Greece and then head into Europe, you know. So this was part of the long period of time where the Persians, you know, were fighting the Greeks, and this little battle had an impact, and it was more of a psychological impact because, to be fair, you know, the 300 Spartans and their 700 Thespian teammates didn't survive the event, and the Persians, you know, ended up destroying them all and moving on. But it was so inspirational and unifying for the disparate Greek city-states that they came together after that incident to fight back the Persians, and then the Athenians beat them at a huge naval battle a year later. And it was just really, really fascinating period of history that a lot of people, accurately or not, credit with kind of the preservation of Western culture as we know it today, because had the Persian Empire taken over, you know, the Ionian continent there or peninsulas and the Greek culture, and then gone further into Europe, you know, who knows, right? What the world would be like. So it's one of these really interesting things. At any rate, so without going on too long here, just I wanted to set the context. So we went over there. I think there were 12 of us. We had a fellow named Bart from the Netherlands come and film the event. He was quite a character. So there will be a small docudrama coming out about the event that'll have some really interesting and inspiring imagery and interviews and whatnot. We hiked roughly 24 to 25 kilometers a day. Two of the 8 days we ran a half marathon. One of the 8 days we did a 60 kilometer bike, which felt like 120 kilometers because we had 22 flat tires amongst all of us. It was just crazy. Every morning we did an Unbeatable Mind training to prepare our minds and bodies for the day. That included some, you know, Kokoro yoga and breathing exercises. And those events were at some sort of historically significant point. And every evening after the long ruck or run, we did another evening session where we did some more breathing and visualization, and also 300 repetitions of some bodyweight exercises. That started out on day one with 300 man makers, and then at the end, 300 push-ups. So it was wicked cool. I had an incredible time myself. It was transformative to be able to work with the vets. The two individuals we have today with me are Eric Coburn, who's was not there as a vet, you know, seeking some recovery work, but was actually there because he raised money to help other vets. But Eric is a vet, a former Marine Corps guy. I'll let him, you know, give you the details. And also Ilya Berler, former, you know, Lithuanian by birth and an Army guy. So we have a Marine and an Army guy. So Eric, thank you both first for joining me today. I'm super stoked to have you guys on. And I think this is going to be really cool to share with, you know, the community.
Glad to be a part of it.
Thank you.
So why don't we start with you, Eric? Give us a kind of, what's your background? Where are you from? And, you know, just a few minutes to let the folks know kind of where you're from and who you are.
Absolutely. So I really love where I grew up, and I'm telling people about it all the time. And I have an affectionate little term I use called WIN. So I grew up in Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska. My family farms in all three states. And, you know, growing up farming and playing team sports, you at a very young age learn it's about the community and really the greater society around you. And then I left the Midwest, joined the Marine Corps. That brought me out here to Raleigh, North Carolina, where I reside to today. But it did bring me out here to the Carolinas, and that's pretty much my background. I did 4 years in the Marine Corps. I've been to college. I have a business degree from UNCW and in the business world of finance and mortgages right now.
Okay. What did you do in the Marine Corps? What was your specialty? So
I was attached to an amphibious assault unit. So I was an AMTRACer. And so, you know, we played a lot in the water and nothing like near what Navy SEALs do, but definitely spent a lot of time in the water. I did my training all out in Southern California. And then I did my enlisted time with my unit out here in North Carolina, Camp Lejeune. And the experience was, I mean, transformative and life-changing, right? The invaluable skills and lessons and just the growth of character and who we become as men in life really is forged through these and many of the other, you know, journeys we go through in life.
Yeah, I imagine there's not a day goodby where that Marine Corps, then that military experience doesn't influence your thinking in some way. I mean, that's certainly my experience as a SEAL. They say once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah, absolutely. I made that mistake when I first got out and said in a USO that I was an ex-Marine. It was quickly corrected. It's always former.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the Greece experience. You know, we didn't know each other before then. I feel like really connected to both you guys. Like we could, you know, come together and do anything, you know, like teammates. And we only spent 10 days, if you count the you know, the travel and whatnot. To give us an idea of what your experience was. How did you hear about it? What was your motivation for going there? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I got a really good buddy of mine back here, Stephen Foxworth. He introduced me to SEALFIT originally, which, you know, indirectly had me start learning about the organization and you know, kind of what you've been doing in the past there, Mark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's part of that statement we were hearing while we were over there. And it's mastery of self, so then we can master the service we have to others. And I still have a long way to go in that journey. So the SEALFIT component was what brought me into kind of a physical aspect of it. But then I got the Unbeatable Mind book and kind of looked at some of the other stuff, and we've got to master ourselves mentally as well. And that's probably one of the more challenging things I have in my life, right? We talked about the monkey brain and things like that. But so for me, I was just kind of looking to be involved with something that was challenging me to grow and be better. And I was getting that. But then, you know, I got an email from John Atwater. And he had introduced to me the Courage Foundation piece that you guys were spinning out underneath your SEALFIT umbrella. And, you know, I gave it in my background. I grew up in a community where there were a lot of other people who took an interest in your development and growth. And, you know, it's immeasurable the impact these people have on your lives. And by getting that, you then have this great calling internally to do the same thing, right? And especially being 41, I'm getting to that point in the journey where, you know, hopefully I'm giving back as well as taking from those who are mentoring. And so working with veterans, I work with nonprofits. This was a nonprofit endeavor, and working with veterans, again, being a veteran really, you know, was near and dear to my heart. So made a few phone calls, did some fundraising, and then joined you guys on the trip. So that's kind of the background and why I was looking at doing it and how I got turned on to it.
Terrific. Let me take a moment to just provide folks some context around the Courage Foundation. So the foundation is something I've wanted to do for several years. And finally, we pulled it together last year. John Atwater, who was, interestingly, my former head brewer at the Coronado Brewing Company, then he became my president. And then he had suffered a broken neck when he was younger. So he was always a little bit, with his recovery, was a little bit, you know, incapacitated, but, you know, still pretty functional. And then he broke his neck again 3 years ago. And after that, you know, it was difficult for him to go back to his work. At that time, he was a professor at a college. And so I offered for him to come in and be my, you know, to help me out at SEALFIT. And then when I launched the Courage Foundation, so the Courage Foundation, you know, came out when I had someone I could trust to basically take the reins of it. And so we launched it with John as the, you know, initial kind of administrative and executive director of the foundation. And so a lot of the, you know, so I didn't have to get, you know, too into the weeds with the day-to-day because I didn't really have the time. So the idea of the Courage Foundation is to bring courage and healing back to populations who aren't whole, right? Who have been, broken in some way. You know, we use that term. We don't use that term on our website, but, you know, people who need healing and support, starting with veterans. We also do some work with the prison population. I've donated a ton of books into the prison population, but, you know, really, really passionate about working with vets who are suffering from PTS, because I don't know how many people know this out there, but it's a huge problem. You know, it's an epidemic. And Ilya, when we get to talk to him, he works in the VA system now. He can tell us more about it. But I think I understand that like 22 vets a day or thereabouts are committing suicide. That's a massive, massive problem that we've all got to do what we can, right, Eric, to help solve. So I honor you for doing that. And I really appreciate you. The Halo Neurostimulation System will help you to push boundaries and to perform at your maximum capacity. Now, I'm often testing new products here at Unbeatable Mind, and Halo is the most recent that I've tested, and I felt it absolutely needed to be passed on to the tribe. It's a neurostim device that electrically stimulates the movement centers in your brain. It helps you to move better and faster through neuroplastic adaptation. It's as simple to use as downloading an app and plugging in headphones and then sticking them on your head. Use it for 20 minutes and then you go do your movement or your workout. Now, Halo, the company, has graciously offered to give a discount to Unbeatable Mind listeners. If you go to haloneuro.com and at checkout use the code UNBEATABLEMIND125, which will give you $125 off a Halo Sport model. That's an unbelievable offer. So use UNBEATABLEMIND125 at haloneuro.com, haloneuro.com, to get $125 off. Very generous offer that they put together. Hope you check it out. Hoo-yah. Tell us about, so you raised money so that you could support, you know, Ilya and Eric, or Drew and also Daniel, who went over there to go over there, you know, for, they didn't have any expenses. We paid their airfare. The Courage Foundation paid their airfare. You raised money. What was that experience like? And did you find some receptivity to that? Was it easy? Was it hard? How'd you do it? And then let's get into the experience at Greece. Like, what hit you and what were the highs and lows?
Yeah, so, you know, interesting statistics you point out there from the VA, being a veteran myself, and I had no idea, you know, 22 vets a day is what they're saying, and over 500,000 with PTS at this given moment. And, you know, we're going to have an enduring need for quite some time, given the conflicts and campaigns we're a part of. And as far as the fundraising piece went, you know, it wasn't necessarily a challenge, but I think for anyone getting into it from the start or it's new to them, it would absolutely be probably, well, let's just be frank. I think a lot of people find it to be insurmountable and never even take up these endeavors. They want to do something, but they really don't know how or where or when to do things. But I've got a background in nonprofits as an executive leader, and I've done different fundraising campaigns and things like that. So, you know, picking up the phone with a new organization, that was probably the only beginning obstacles I had. But look, with anything, when you add validation behind it, and you guys have obviously been vetted as a nonprofit, tax exempt, you have your ID number. And then some of the donors I was raising money with personally are big dollar donors. I think, you know, we had a $20,000 raise per person, and I got half of that from just one donor who will more than likely be reoccurring. So the reason I point that out specifically is you guys have approval through Fidelity and different arms or organizations of investment institutions like that, which just gives a big catalyst in making it that much easier. So really, I was very fortunate to make a few phone calls, had some people who the organization being vetted, already part of their investment endowment entities. So it was much easier than I thought. Another thing we did, we threw a party here at the house and took a different approach. And, you know, we had a we did a pig picking. We had a band. But instead of charging people a plate fee or, you know, a cover charge, if you would have come in, like you'll see traditionally with a lot of things. Again, being new, I just wanted to throw a party and have people come over and get exposed to in a very organic and natural way about the organization. And we raised a few thousand off of that event just in itself. So humbling, really, if I was going to conclude, to see your friends and people come together in a way that they do to be so gracious and giving. However, I'm coming from a community of veterans, right? So it was, it's not very hard to get them to have a, you know, an appreciation for what we're doing and a calling to help.
Yeah. And when you're passionate about something, you can, you know, you can move mountains, yeah. That's for sure. And so we're going to get more experienced in how to run these things next year. Cause this is, you know, something, this year was just a beginning of trying to figure out, you know, how to raise awareness, but also have a direct impact. And I think that's important for us is how can we have a direct impact? You know, it's not good enough for me to just throw money at something. We got to solve this mano a mano, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll also help other people solve it. So let's talk about Greece. The idea in Greece was, you know, and you integrated so well because you were a veteran and, but to, you know, basically journey together and through this journey, find inspiration through the Spartans experience, plus our own trials and tribulations. So what were your high points and low points on this?
Well, I'll tell you, initially signing up for it and seeing the physical demand of what we were doing, I like to consider myself a functional athlete. I play ice hockey three nights a week and, you know, I still fit workouts. But I wouldn't say I'm anywhere near a proficient athlete, let alone an industrial athlete as Navy SEALs are in your group. So, it was mental, right? I put up a lot of mental roadblocks about what I thought the experience was going to be like, a little bit anxious before coming. But once we got over there, we got locked into it. The physical part of it, I definitely could have done better. But I know that's on me. I could train better and I can get that end result. So that's just the disappointment on your own lack of preparation. But what was surprising to me and what I didn't expect to have was as much mental challenge. But a lot of those days were extremely enduring days, if you will. I wore my Fitbit, for example, and on our first half marathon, our third day in, which I think was one of the hottest days, by the way. Thankfully, it's only dry heat, not humid. But I ended up posting 18 miles on my Fitbit for that day. But I did a lot of running back and forth between the groups and, I did a lot of walking as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it certainly wasn't, it was 13 miles as the crow flies, right? But we were doing up and down.
So I definitely had some mental fortitude challenges, if you will, which were unexpected. But are back to what I was talking about earlier. If we're just going to talk about, you're asking me what I was benefiting from it, the connections and the relationships, that's the first and foremost thing after it.
Yeah. And also some of the actual events, So let's help, create a picture in the listeners' minds. What types of things did we do and what were some of the cool things and where did you hit those low points? What was that like as if they were there? Let's see if we can tell the story.
Yeah. So obviously from a historical standpoint, starting out day one in Sparta under the statue of King Leonidas, and we got a lot of pictures there. That was and just the outsized difference in you versus that statue too was a great it was really a great metaphor for what we were stepping up to in the journey. And we had the first 2 days were rucks. The rucking, we had our day packs on and stuff like that. Definitely some good elevation changes. I think, we're going all the way from sea level up to 4,000 or 5,000 feet in elevation changes. So some of the uphill stuff, maybe was a bit taxing for some. I didn't, the rucks themselves weren't too bad other than getting into the middle of them. Right. Some days we were starting, I think around 9:30 in the morning and we were going till 3:30, 4:30, 5 o'clock. So, you get 3, 4, 5 hours into things and you're focused on the end point and not, just the matter of hand in front of you. And that can kind of beat you down a little bit. But then the third day was the run. And then, we got into 2 more days of rucking and we did another half marathon. Those runs were definitely challenging going through some of the uphill, downhill. But in the bike ride itself, like you said, 22 flat tires. I think too, though, for me specifically, getting focused on some of the low points, I'm always trying to lift others up, right, and kind of help distract them from their own pain. So I point that out because that was a great way for me to kind of be distracted from some of the longevity of what we were doing. But what was even more cool about that whole experience with the connection you're making to those people who were helping uplift you through that time, or if you were coming back and trying to make them laugh and uplift them. Andrew and I did some funny things the last day that I don't know, I probably mentioned on the podcast, but we definitely had each other laughing and finished the downhill portion into the end of the second half marathon.
Right. So you spent a lot of time with Ilya and Danny and and Drew. And Drew was having, he wasn't able to join us today, but he was having some breakdowns. And, so what were some of the, some of the more interesting moments that you had, working with the vets who were there, who were, suffering from PTS, and what did you learn from?
Well, I can say, first and foremost, I'm very humble and gracious for them opening up to me. Ilya, I really appreciate that you did that. And, Danny and Drew and, I think it's a commonality for all of us, right? You have that experience. We've gone through the same training, although I'm not a combat veteran, so I haven't been through the same theaters they have. We all go through the same training. We get the same bonds forged. So there weren't a lot of barriers to the beginning of those relationships. But just seeing how open people were about what they were sharing, And I think this is just my own personal philosophy, but whether it's PTSD or, you know, some other debilitating issue you have in your life, whether it's mental, physical, or a combination of the two, as human beings, man, we all share, you know, a common bond, and we're all on this planet kind of moving in the same direction. So when you can connect with other people and help them with their issues and help encourage them, and it's our own fear, right? It's that monkey brain you talk about.
Is there any specific incident that stands out in your mind, though?
Yeah.
Like anything that you could share that would help the listeners connect with?
Yeah. So Andrew, I'm sure you'll get an opportunity to speak with him, and maybe in a later podcast, you know, give him the opportunity to tell his story. But I can tell you, Andrew was a Marine and then went over to the Army. So I absolutely had that connection with him from the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And very much struggling from what I think, and this is just very beginning for me, so I could be misspeaking here, and Ilya can talk to this later. But I see a lot of the debilitation of the obstacles put in the way. It's survivor guilt trip, right? We can all see some very chaotic things and barbaric and devastating things in our life and carnage. But it doesn't seem to be so much that's impacting our vets as it is the survivor guilt trip, right? My buddy didn't make it back. I did. And Andrew especially had a circumstance with that where he was a part of a quick reactionary force. This force went down. RPG hit a helicopter, took them all out. He was a few days away from going home. So he carries a lot of guilt about that. And I think specifically I don't mean to misspeak for Andrew here, but I'm just giving my perspective. I believe that he felt he has in some way let his team down, and he's struggling on how he gets past that. And then, so for him to not make the first half marathon day with us because of dehydration, and you know, we all witnessed him throwing up there in the beginning, and he still gave it a try, but it, you know, I think you guys pulled him aside medically and said it was best he didn't do it. So that was a low point that I experienced with one of my fellow brothers. But then to see him the next day lead us as you and John pushed him to the front to lead his team of people in Greece. And then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, my highest of points was running with him. And he, you know, he ran a good part of that that second marathon, especially our downhill descent where we went by King Leonidas' watchtower and all that. And just such a beautiful scene there. And just, you know, the bond we're having and the laughing and getting through that together. Those were, you know, with Andrew, those were two moments in the trip where we had some, you know, a low point and a high point. Specifically shared some good times that were breakthroughs. And to just follow up on that, too, you know, I'm still in contact with these gentlemen, and Andrew's off doing other things. And he seems to be very happy, moving in the right direction. As we know, this trip isn't going to solve the issues we have just in a trip. It's going to be the habits we do in day in and day out, but he seems to be on the right track. And I think what he's going to ultimately do, and what I'd like to see these guys do, and Ilya's living it and doing it, and you know, I'm thinking about going back to get my master's in social work myself, is taking your experiences and overcoming them, and then you have the ability to go out and talk to other people and say, look, I've walked this walk, and I'm talking this talk, and I can also help you get past that. And it's the healing. That's what we're here for.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. So when you're up, so now let's fast forward. You're done with the program, and what was going through your mind when we showed up at the second, you know, Leonidas statue in Thermopylae, and then you know, and you knew that we had just completed this whole thing.
Well, so, you know, a whole host of emotions. Obviously, in the beginning, you're very satisfied and you're overwhelmed with joy because you've gotten to the end of it, as far as the Greece trip went, literally. But then you start to reflect back a little bit on it, and you know the journey's over, and that's disappointing because it's such a great time and with such a great group of guys. And then it starts to make you think, okay, what are these people's journeys going to be like after we all leave here? And hopefully we stay in touch with each other. But overall, it was obviously very, very satisfying, right, to get across there. I think I was getting a little too loud as we were coming in there at the end, marching in. So definitely satisfying.
Anything that you feel like you've changed as a result of the trip, you know, that you just see things differently, or you've decided to change up?
Yeah. Okay. So two things. It's been a while, and this is probably not the greatest thing in my life, right? I need to get doing some different things, but it's been a while since I've had some mental challenges, right, to that level where I wasn't sure whether I was going to do something or accomplish it. So to get that reinforcement of success through execution, right, that's great. But the biggest thing, and this is, again, I got to tell Ilya, thank you very much for his experiences and opening up and becoming my friend. and with what he's doing specifically, and Danny and Andrew have backed this up as well. I've always had an interest in people. And I started out after I got out of the Marine Corps with a business degree in CW, as I mentioned earlier. And I was a double major in psychology as well. And I just happened to finish my business degree a semester before my psychology degree. And it's funny, or ironic really, how in a blink of an eye, 15 years can go by and I'm in a career in the business world. And look, that's all fine and dandy and making money and getting promotions and having success inside a corporate aspect or world. It only does so much. And for me, I feel a calling and a greater good and purpose. And maybe it's the heart of a healer. I don't know. But in this journey, what these guys have helped me do is, look, I've been very anxious searching for a purpose, and to get refocused on the fact that I can do something with veterans and do, and switching a little bit, right? Psychology, you have to have such a deep dive in that. And there's a lot of research, and you're probably getting a PhD and you're 3 inches wide and 60 feet deep, right? So whereas with, you know, counseling and social work, you can be more of a relationship manager and a friend of these people and just support them and get them through first some of the first steps that, hey, there's other people out there like you and there's people here to support you. And it's giving me a new calling in life, right? I've already got a 10-year plan set. It's going to take me 3 years through the distance program over at Chapel Hill to commit or complete their program. And they're fifth in the nation, I think, for the programs. And they also work indirectly with the Durham VA hospital up here, and they do their internships up through there. So that's my new focus and goal, is to get into the VA and work as a counselor. But I got to, complete some continuing education on that first.
Right. Wow. That's cool. So you found a whole new one.
Plus working with the Courage Foundation as well, too. So that's a great thing. Great cause.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to working with you on that, too. This podcast is supported by my friends at Ample, a convenient and healthy meal in a bottle. Now, the Ample meal isn't just a protein shake. It's a complete meal, including the fiber, healthy fats, protein, and pre and probiotics. I love this stuff, and I try to have at least one a day. Check them out at amplemeal.com. Now, they know how much I love this product and are offering you, the listener, a 15% discount off your first order if you enter the code UNBEATABLE15. That's 1-5. UNBEATABLE15. I know how hard it is when you're constantly traveling, training, running from here and there. It's nonstop, the world we live in, and having an Ample meal on the go makes eating healthy so much easier. It helps me stay on track and eating healthy, knowing I'm getting all the nutritional needs met. I just pack the bottle in my bag, and then when I add water, I drink it, I'm done. Piece of cake. So check out amplemeal.com. Use the code UNBEATABLE15 to get 50% off your first order. This is the new MRE. Check it out. Here we are. All right, so let's shift focus. Ilya, thanks for joining me today. Now, Ilya, why don't you give us a little background? I mentioned earlier that you grew up in Lithuania. I thought that was really interesting. Not many people know about that part of the world. Your father became a political refugee, and then you guys moved to Minnesota. So
that's
why don't
right.
you pick it up from there? What was your early life? How did you get in the military, and what was that like?
Okay, so yes, I grew up on a military base, and then we moved to Minnesota. I went to school. I had a difficult time fitting in, so I dropped out of high school, and I think I wasted maybe a year or two just not doing a whole lot of anything. And at that point, I decided to check out the military. I was thinking, I have nothing to lose. See what they have to offer, and also maybe pay for college down the road. So that's what led me to enlisting. And go ahead.
So that was Army. You went to the Army. What year was that?
I signed up in 1998, and I was in reserve for a couple of years. Then I left, and I got called up in 2004 to IRR.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you went to Iraq from there?
Well, we went to Kuwait to stay there for a few months, and then we crossed into Iraq in early 2005. We went to Crete, FOB Spiker, and did different things there. We did QRF, we did base security, and then after a few months, we started doing convoys, and that's how I got injured. I was a 50 cal gunner and a Humvee. And I got thrown out from the hatch. And after that, I can't remember a whole lot, but from what my buddies told me, I was trying to talk Russian to them when they were trying to take care of me. they put me up on a chopper, took me to Balad, and I think the Australian surgeons took my spleen out, and then they sent me to Germany. I think I was in Germany for a little bit, then Walter Reed, then a couple more hospitals, and that was pretty much it.
Jeez. So was your convoy hit by a IED or
no? Not that day, actually. No. What happened is our driver decided to ram a vehicle. I had a chance to shoot it, but I didn't think it was warranted. I wasn't sure if it was a threat, but our driver thought it was, and I guess the Humvee flipped in the process of eliminating that vehicle.
Doesn't sound like that was a great decision.
yeah, I didn't think it was. The guy disappeared on us. He's nowhere to be seen. I want to tell him a few things, but
he's gone. You mean the driver?
Right, right.
Okay, so you ended up with traumatic brain injury. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
A lot of broken bones.
Right.
You lost your spleen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So what was it, you know, the recovery like for you?
The recovery was tough because I was separated from the unit, and it was very chaotic. I was taking a lot of morphine, and everything is a blur. I went through one hospital to another, and then I was sent home. I was still taking a lot of opiates. It's just a difficult time adjusting back to civilian life because I really didn't have any skills, and my mind was sort of like was missing a link. It was just thoughts were misfiring and just didn't seem right.
You know, I have to say, I just saw the movie Thank You for Your Service. I don't think it's out yet. It'll probably be out by the time this podcast posts, but it was produced by Jason Hall, who was involved in the movie American Sniper. Anyways, they did a really good job of showing exactly what you're talking about. They followed these vets who, you know, had, you know, traumatic experiences and were suffering from PTS, and how their family lives were just imploding, and they had difficulty concentrating, right. And they lost memory, and they were having, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with these like intense images of, you know, like flashbacks, I guess you call them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were short tempered with their family.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, all these things that sounds like you experienced too, and how hard it was to operate within the VA system, let's just say, from the movies, didn't seem like it was doing anybody any favors, you know?
Right.
They were good at issuing drugs, but right. They weren't really helping.
No, definitely. Yeah, I felt I really didn't know much about the VA because when I got discharged, I went straight home away from my unit. And what you're speaking about is very true. Having very little patience and creating distance between you and family members. I was in a relationship for about 6 years that ended right there. All my friends were saying I was angry. I didn't see it that way. But, yeah, everything changed, definitely. And it was hard to find how to turn that switch off.
Right. Yeah, you just didn't have the tools. And the drugs were just numbing it, right?
Right.
Did you have issues with, like, another one big issue is depression and suicidal thoughts? Did any of it affect you at all?
Depression, yeah, big time. Yeah, a lot of times I just didn't have any reason to really go on, because after my daughter's mother and I split, it was really tough to see that part of my life go.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Wow. So what was there a turning point for you? Like what kind of helped you haul yourself up by your bootstraps and then go, you know, this is all before Greece, go work for the VA or think that you could, you know, help others by working at the VA?
Well, I figured that if I'm struggling so much, maybe I can be want to help others, and that was what my driving force was. I experienced it, so now I know what's going on, so I just figured I need to find a way to make myself useful to others, and that was by going through school.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've heard that quite a bit, a lot of times, you know, to Eric's point, there's that guilt, but another part is just, you know, you felt such a sense of purpose in the military. and you were supported with this team that, you know, were like your brothers. They are right. brothers in arms. And when you come back, not only do you are you suffering from the stress and the injury, but now you don't really find that same level of team or purpose.
Definitely.
And I think that's a real problem. And so you found purpose by going back and helping other vets. You said you went to school and you got a counseling degree. Is that right?
Right. First, I went to school, finished a 4-year degree for social work. And then I did the same with a master's degree in social work.
Oh, no kidding. Good for you.
Thank you.
And that's and then you took that to the VA and they hired you?
Actually, no. There was quite a bit of jobs in between the VA because the VA wanted me to have some experience. And I worked at a psychiatric hospital, methadone treatment center, and a couple of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got to the VA.
So let me just ask, before we get into Greece, what do you do at the VA now?
Right now I work with homeless veterans, trying to get them housed and reintegrate them into community.
Okay. Excellent. And so do you see the VA getting better at supporting vets, or is, you know, we still have some of the same problems that were shown in the movie that I just saw?
It's tough to say. I think the VA is trying, but always there are new problems that come up. It's almost like whacking them all.
Mm-hmm.
That's how yeah. I see it.
Yeah. So let's talk about, how did you hear about the Spartan challenge that we did with the sure. Courage Foundation?
I got an email saying, are you interested in a therapeutic hike? And I envisioned a leisurely hike and I thought, yeah, why not? So then the email started coming in saying you have to walk 30 miles or 30 kilometers and run. And I was like, that doesn't sound so therapeutic, but I started training for it. And once I started training, I was really feeling good. Just brought back sense of purpose. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. And, I was afraid I'll be in the worst shape, but then I was telling myself, you know, you have to try. If you don't, you're going to regret it. And that was my, those were my thoughts in the morning. Every day I had to, I would walk to work and I'd ride a bike instead of driving a truck. That was one way of getting in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So that really motivated me once I found out about this. And, once I got close, I started looking for reasons not to go, to kind of sabotage it. And I was saying, Hurricane Irma is coming. I need to stay here for the family. I'm going to miss my daughter's birthday. I shouldn't do this. But I think I was just afraid.
Right. I think that's pretty normal. I'm glad you stuck it out.
Me too. It was awesome. So glad I went.
Yeah. What were some of the high and low points for you?
High points was just camaraderie every day, going through the same stuff together. That was one of my high points. Also, I remember running on top of the hill and just hearing the wind. And Danny was right next to me. We were just quiet. I could hear him run, just his breath and his feet hitting the ground. And it was just awesome. We kept going like that for, it seemed like forever.
Yeah, there were some amazing like flow moments, weren't there? You just really just get very present and
definitely.
Quiet. And just go. That can be very healing too, huh?
For sure. I mean, being in the moment, I think, is the most healing thing you can do instead of looking back or forward.
Yeah.
And that's what I heard is foot stomps, and that was awesome. Just the wind and our feet stomping the ground was the best.
How did you like the training we did before and after the ruck run stuff?
I knew it was good for me. I mean, after
to think that we're gonna do 300, you know,
yeah,
burpees.
Or right, something. I was like, man, I hope today they're gonna be tired or they're gonna change their mind, just drink beer. But once we got to it, I knew it was good, and I felt again, I felt at peace and present. So yeah. Getting past that laziness was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overcoming the resistance. Right. Huh? So, what about the big four skills? Did you find yourself using those on the ruck? Because we talked about those quite a bit in the morning routine and prepped, and we briefed it during the ruck. You know,
well, one
did
of
you find yourself relying on those?
For sure. I mean, one of the things that you talked about is feeding the courage wolf, and that's what got me through. Is I think in Greece I learned to seek positive experiences and just things to kind of grab onto and build off of, instead of dwelling on pain or negative experiences, to just brush them aside and look for bright positive stuff and just breathe and be in the moment, be present. Those are some very good things that I took away from Greece.
Yeah. Was there any particular day or moment or event or interaction, you know, that really, really struck you, or, you know, was like a aha moment for you, or, you know, that when you think back is just burned in your memory?
Yeah, I remember just when I had five blisters, and you asked for Greek names, and I think my Greek name was Blisters Maximus, and
that's right.
Yeah, that particular day, I just hated every step. Every step I took, I was angry. I wanted to hit someone, and I was just cussing everyone out in my mind. And then I just started to think about my past and some of the negative behaviors that I engage in, and just a lot of things became clear as to my daily routines, how they contribute to some of the negative feelings. Mm-hmm. I know it's a very general description without going too specific.
You know, I get that though, because you have a lot of time to reflect, right? And so you're able to contrast what was happening over there with maybe the way some of the patterns that defined your life back on back stateside. And so, from that, what changes did you make, and, you know, what's different now?
Well, I think it's the simplest thing is just to look for positives, and again, disregard all the negatives. And once I realize that I'm engaging in a destructive thought, to stop it and redirect it. It takes effort, but it's well worth it for me.
Yeah, very cool. Would you do it again?
I'd do it every year if possible. It was such a great experience. Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for putting it together. And well, Eric, thank you for raising the money.
Yeah, it was a cool team effort. I mean, we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have brought the vets without raising the money. And so Eric and then Travis was another fellow who raised $20,000. Big commitment to do that. And then Ilya, you know, I definitely appreciate your desire to give back and work with other vets. You know, like I said, this has got to be such a huge team effort, you know. So I think kind of like for me to kind of wrap this thing up is, A, to honor you both for, you know, stepping up to the challenge, honoring all warriors, you know, ancient and modern. You know, we're dealing with our modern warriors, but, you know, I can imagine what the Spartans went through when they and their teammates were, you know, basically walking toward their certain death, and to help, you know, help people heal. And I think with us, I'd like to help people be more resilient going into combat so that they can maybe heal faster or doesn't land as hard, but also, you know, working through the Courage Foundation and with, you know, both of your guys' help and others, to both raise awareness, to provide a vehicle for people to get involved, you know, because Eric, it was transformative for you to be involved in raising money and awareness, and now it's given you a new purpose. I think there's a lot of people like you who want to help, but just writing a check isn't enough. You know what I mean? And I think that's like old school philanthropy, is write a check and hope that it does some good. I hope that, you know, my goal is that we can do a little bit better than that. But if, you know, writing a check is all you can do, that's great. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying we need all angles, right? This is an integrative approach. We need people to help fund programs for vets, and we need to raise awareness, and then we need the direct contact to help vets find purpose and that community and to overcome the grief and get them off the meds.
Definitely.
Right, Ilya? That's critical, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you think about it, everything that we did every morning, you know, the breath practice itself, the silence, the being in nature, the being with the, you know, finding a community, and doing challenging things again, finding that purpose. I mean, those are the way you heal. It's not by doping up on Oxycontin or something like that. That doesn't do anything. That just exacerbates the problem. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Really appreciate you being here. Honor your military service and also your service working with vets, and your support of the Courage Foundation. It was huge. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it as well, Mark. And, you know, your service to our country is a heavy debt of gratitude to you as
well.
Yes,
thank you. Thanks, man. Guys, both for your service and this great program. It was eye-opening.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you very much, guys. All right, folks, thanks very much for listening today. We heard from Eric Colburn and Elia. And we, you know, we're going to hear more from those guys, I think, down the road, because I think they both are doing great work and you're going to help a lot of vets out. And so if you want to be involved in the Courage Foundation, I mean, this podcast is meant to, you know, be inspiring and to help spread the word about some of the things that we did in Greece, because people are interested. But also, you know, the Courage Foundation is pretty new. If you have an interest in getting involved, or, you know, in raising money or being involved in an event like this next year or something like that, then, you know, please reach out to John, JON@CourageFoundation.net, JON@CourageFoundation.net, and he'll probably bounce you to Eric. Because John's got a lot on his plate too. But at any rate, yeah, we'd love to get your help. And also, you could just stay, you know, apprised of the emails that we got coming out, because, you know, we use the same community as Unbeatable Mind and Seal Fit with the Courage Foundation. So I know folks are already getting that information. At any rate, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it. And until next time on the Unbeatable Mind podcast, this is Mark Devine. Stay focused, train hard, and find some way to support our vets. Hoo-yah. Coach Devine out. Lock and load, boys. Time to explode, boys. Make sure you get home, boys. They got your back, the pride of the fleets, the bright swinging frogmen of the UDT.